Thank you for tuning into A Spirit-Led Life with HMI. We hope you enjoyed today's session with Pastor Dion Hockey.
As Stephen prayed and said, you know, it's been now multiple weeks of teaching on faith and always coming back to Abraham, because the Bible is clear, says he is the father of faith.
Yeah.
And our foundation scripture that we started, and I'll just recap quickly, I'm not going to preach on it all, I don't have the time, but we have this in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. To 21. Romans 4 verse 18 to 21 is our foundation scripture, and it's amazing that just in these verses there were the eight keys that I'm teaching on in Romans chapter 4 from verse 18 to 21. There are eight keys that we can learn, receive, and utilize in our lives. If Abraham was the father of faith, and I read this and I'll read it again, but you know, the hope that he had in God, trusting in the Lord, that same very hope, that same very faith has been given to us as well. So let's read it. Verse 18 says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. That was our first point. So that he became the father of many nations. Point number two, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So whatever was what God spoke, he took hold of that and believed in that. Number three, and not being weak in faith. Praise God. You know, we mustn't be weak. I'm going to get on that later on. Point number four, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he didn't take circumstances, made him doubt the circumstances was in it. I'll preach on that. Then point number five, verse 20 says, he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief. But number six, was strengthened in faith. Number seven, giving glory to God. And number eight, verse 21, and being fully convinced that he had what he had promised, he was able to perform. So here are the eight keys. Number one, contrary to hope, Abraham believed in hope. And the beautiful scripture that we had, this, the New Living Translation, verse 18 says this, even though there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping.
Come on.
Isn't that? I love it. Abraham just kept on hoping. And this is what we should do. You know, even when things just look like it's hopeless and not going to work, keep on hoping.
Yeah.
Just keep on believing. Amen. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, for we were saved in this hope. That encourages me. When we get saved, when we become children of God, we have that same DNA. We carry that same hope.
Amen.
But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Right?
Yeah.
For we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I was having breakfast yesterday with my spiritual father a long time ago, Prophet James Repsalt. And I don't know if he's online watching this morning, but he shared something really unique with me. And he said just something different. We teach Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Now faith is. So he said we hope for stuff to come. So he used this example, Pastor James used, and I'm just quoting him. He said, if you were hoping for a phone, you were believing God to receive a phone, right? That's what the substance, I'm hoping for that phone. And now I receive the phone. He says, now faith is what I've already received. I have received my phone, so that what I've been hoping for is the now faith. This is now my faith that has come into fruition. It has now manifested and has become real. I just thought that was really interesting, that I was hoping for my phone, but now my faith says, I got my phone. Here's the evidence of what I've been hoping for. Just a different thought, you know, on what we teach. And so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Alrighty, we walk by faith and not by sight. All right, so Abraham, even though it was pointless in hoping for something he knew was impossible, yet by the word of God spoken, he believed. That's the second point, according to what was spoken. So he believed that God said, "You are the father of many nations. From you will come many children." And he took that word, didn't look at circumstances, and he held on to that word. And I spoke about, you know, Isaiah 55:11 saying that God's word shall not return void to him, but it will accomplish that which it was sent out to do, right? And I read many other scriptures. Jeremiah 1:12 says that the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word."
Amen.
Right? I'm ready to perform my word. Good morning to Anita van der Berg. It's so great to have you online with us, Anita. God bless you.
Amen.
Wonderful to have you and all the viewers that are with us. Now, let's go to point number three. And point number three is self-explanatory in a sense, because the third point is not being weak in faith. Not being weak in faith. And so we become weak in our faith. So how do we overcome the weakness of our faith? Now, this is what we've been trying to teach you all this time, you know, and what we've trying to help you with. So let me give you scriptures, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So how do we overcome our weakness in faith? Matthew 21 verse 22. "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive."
Come on. Amen.
So coming back to prayer, what is the point that we pray and not believe what we pray?
Yeah.
And I think that's the crux of the matter. There's so many people who pray. We see this week in and week out.
Yeah.
We have a healing ministry. So people come for healing. Then we take hands, we pray for them. God heal them. And you could see the doubt in the eyes of the people. You know, they say, "Well, I believe God can heal me. I sure do." But they really, and you pick it up in your spirit, Stephen, don't you?
Yeah.
We pick it up in our spirit. You say you believe, but my gosh, I can feel that you are not believing. I can see the doubt that you have. Some people you can just see, man, they are ready to believe.
Yeah.
And the point we touch them, even before I pray, the healing is there. Do you know why? Because we're not the healer. God's the healer.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
They just received by faith, believing. When we prayed, believing, they receive.
Yeah.
And this is how we got to guard our hearts.
You can always see doubt by the ones that talk too much. It's like the moment you say, "Do you believe God can heal you?" All you need is a yes. "I believe God can heal me." But then you'll find the ones that say,
"Yes, but
in God's timing, if it is His will." And then it's like all these things, and they talk, and then the talking reveals the unbelief. Just say yes.
Say yes.
Believe it. Walk in it and receive it.
You know, we always say we take things to God in the altar. You know, we take our worries, our stress, our problems, our sicknesses, and then we go through prayer and we lay it at the altar, at the cross, at the feet of Jesus, and then we say amen. We kind of like take our one hand and we just pick up our stresses and we walk away with our problems that we just laid at the cross because of that unbelief. We're saying, "Well, you know, I know," and here's the thing, "I know God can do it. I know God can heal me, but just in case, you know, I want to hold on to that doubt and the unbelief." And the Bible is very clear that Abraham was not weak in his faith. Another scripture, 1 John 5 verse 14, we all know this, it's all concerning prayer. He says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him," in Jesus, "that if we ask anything..." Please note this, and you cannot read the scripture enough, because we have to remind ourselves, if we ask anything according to His will,
yes,
He hears us.
Come on.
If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So how do we strengthen our faith? God hears and answers prayers that are asked in faith according to His will. And we find that His will is His word, the Bible. So we need to pray the word.
Yes.
There is no reason to be weak in faith, because God is faithful.
Yes.
If He said it, He'll do it.
Come on.
We need to get this brain of ours, you know, in line with the Word of God. We need to relax. The oldest teaching on faith, and I learned this, and Pastor James taught us this, and many men of God taught us this. How does, I almost want to use the word blind faith work.
Yeah.
Well, if you go into your living room, you go into your dining room, you pull the chair out and you sit down on that chair. You weren't stressed, is it going to hold my weight? Is the legs going to break and fall under me? Is the chair going to slip and I'm not going to? You just sit down. No questions asked. I believe that chair that I'm sitting on will hold my weight. Isn't that blind faith, if you get what I'm coming to?
Yeah.
There's no reason of fear. There's no reason of doubting. I just know I'm going to sit in this chair and boom, it's going to hold my weight and I'll be good.
You know, I'm reminded of Sarah, because Sarah, we spoke about this the other day when we spoke about grabbing God's attention. Sarah was so full of faith because the Bible says because she judged God as being faithful.
Come on.
It's as simple as that. She was full of faith because she judged God as being faithful. Many people judge God as he's not going to provide, or they say he's not, you know, always complaining, always moaning about whatever, instead of judging God as being faithful. And that's the same concept with the chair now.
Yeah.
I don't look at my surroundings. I don't have to have weak faith because I judge God as being faithful. He's going to do it. He's going to find a way. If he said it, he will do it. It's finished, done. That's the promise of God.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a simple, for me, it's simple. You know, people think, well, you know, before you go on the stage, on the platform, you got to pray up a storm, you know, for God to move. And it's good. And we pray then. We ask the Lord, because the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Sure, yeah. We do that. But, you know, you can go onto the platform without praying one single prayer, and your faith in God, because he's faithful to his word, if you understand the promises of God's word, and God says the believer will lay hands on the sick and the sick will be healed, they will recover, these signs will follow those who believe, the works that I do you will do also, you know. Yeah. If you have this residing in your spirit, I don't have to feel goosebumps.
Yeah.
To pray for the sick.
Yeah.
I don't have to feel a special anointing, you know, the electricity of God and a hand written on the wall and an angel appearing to me before I can pray. Man, God is the healer.
Yeah.
He said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you will do also. So I can just step on any platform. I can go into any restaurant. Mm-hmm. I can go anywhere, wherever I am, without being in a prayer or a fasting.
Yeah.
And I can go and lay my hand on somebody and say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
And my faith is activated because of faithfulness of God. Yes. And his word.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. Yes.
If you understand what I'm saying. It is simple. Faith is simple. And Abraham said, okay, you said I'm going to have babies. I'm going to be a father of many nations. So be it. I take your word. His faith was not weak.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Last scripture on this point, John 16:24. He says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full.
Yeah.
It is plain. It is simple. It is easy. The gospel has been simple. It is plain. It has been easy. I never see Jesus making things complicated. Never saw him making things difficult for the believer.
Yeah.
All he said, blind Bartimaeus, Lord, 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 son of David, have mercy on me. What's wrong with you? I'm blind. I need a healing. Okay, be healed. You have to, you know, fast 40 days and you have to read 10,000 healing scriptures before I will come and heal you. He didn't say that. The guy who was blind said, Lord, I heard that you're a healer. Heal me, please. And he said, okay, receive your healing. Boom, he was healed.
Yeah.
Faith. is an amazing thing. If you can believe God without making it complicated. And unfortunately, some churches have made it so complicated, so difficult. Let's become like Jesus. Let's become like Abraham. And let's just take hold of the promises of God and say, His word is yes and amen. So be it. I believe it. I receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Point number four. He didn't let the natural obstacles weaken his faith. In other words, his body is 100 years old, and we look at the circumstances in us and we say, this is impossible. And that's me. After 34 years of ministry, I still see myself as impossible, insignificant. I'm not worthy. It's not going to happen. How can God use me? And yet God is faithful, and he comes and he proves me wrong every time. Is anybody feeling like that even right now? Do you look at your circumstances, your outward appearance, your abilities, and then you say, oh, it's not going to work? Come on, family. Let's have faith in God. Yes. Let's trust God beyond the shadow of any way of doubt.
Yeah.
Now, I love this scripture. I got to read this to you.
Yeah.
Just to say how we do not observe our circumstances and our surroundings. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. It says this. So he answered, do not fear. Now, if you don't know this portion of story, here is Elisha with his servant, okay? And the servant wakes up, and he goes outside and he sees the armies surrounding Elijah. They've come to capture They've come to capture Elisha, for the king was mad at him because he was revealing all the king's secrets to the other king. It's a good story. Go and read it.
Yeah.
But he gets out and he sees this arm and he's thinking, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. We're going to be killed today. And he runs back to the prophet and he says, man of God, listen, there's a lot of soldiers out here. And Elisha steps out, sees what's going on. And then this is where we are. He says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, in the natural eye, you can't see those who are with us. So the prophet saw and knew something that the servant hadn't done. Maybe some of you who are watching us this morning, you would say, you've been in the ministry for so long and you guys have great faith and you know more than us. No, Elisha had known God. His God was faithful. And we preach out of our knowledge of the faithfulness of God. And what you might not see, and when I'm preaching, you say, but this is too hard, too difficult. No, 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 my friend. Let me tell you, the same problem was here with the servant of Elisha. Because Elisha prays now. Imagine this, they step out and the servant is saying, look how many people they are. Look at our problems. And Elisha says, those who are with us are far more than those that are you seeing right now. But the servant's looking, who's with us?
Yeah.
I love thinking, like, who's with us? I don't know who's with us. And then Elijah prays and says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Imagine that. Elisha and his servant found themselves surrounded by a hostile army of the king of Syria. I mean, circumstances are bleak. Elisha's terrified servant cries out and he says, oh my Lord, what are we going to do in this circumstance? But Elisha says to him, do not be afraid. Bingo, there's a key right there. Do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those that are with them. So the key also is that we must not let the circumstances, and we can preach a lot on this. Come on, you guys know. Yeah. Peter walks out, steps out of the boat. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He puts his eyes on circumstances. Boop, he begins to sink. you know, yeah. And then Jesus comes and says to him, Peter, why did you doubt? You stepped out by faith, you started off well, but then you looked away from me, you looked at circumstances, and there you went. So he saved him from drowning, right? We must not allow the circumstances to grab hold of us and to allow fear to enter into our hearts.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on, that's good.
You all agree with what I'm saying? The prophet's eyes with spiritual focus, and we should be the same. Our spiritual focus should always be on Jesus, right? So his focus was on the fiery hosts of heaven all around them to deliver them. This is Elijah. He was focused on the angels. He was focused on the word, the capability of his God, the knowledge of his God. You know, he was in faith, not on the physical, but on the spiritual side. He knew what was going to happen.
Come on.
And then what I like about this, and then, you know, when the armies began to attack, he prayed and he said, Lord, make them blind.
Yeah.
If the whole Syrian army, make them blind. I know you know the story, but I read this again. I was so blessed because one thinks that they were struck with blindness and they couldn't walk. But yet he walked up to them and he said, who are you looking for? They said, oh, we're looking for this prophet Elisha. And he says, well, I'll show you where he is. They were blinded to who he was. So yeah. God can put a blindness on people that doesn't necessarily mean they are physically blind. They don't see.
Yeah. They don't see what they're looking
for. You know, yeah, they don't see. So he leads them into the enemy's camp, the Syrians now. He leads them in, and then he prays and says, Lord, open their eyes. And when the Syrian army opens their eyes, they're in the people they want to kill and attack. Now they're smack bang in the middle, surrounded, and they're about to die. And this is what I love about the story, that because the soldiers say, Father, Elijah, shall we kill them? Shall we kill them? And they said, no. You're not going to kill them. Feed them, bless them. And when they were fed and they were blessed, they were let go. And guess what happened? Down the line, down the future, further wars was eliminated. It was stopped right there because of the goodness of God.
Come on.
And we can learn so from this. We want our enemies to die. We want people to perish. We want God to kill everybody. But here we learn that forgiveness is a great weapon. Not fear, having faith in God, forgiving people. He comes and he brings restoration to us. So isn't that wonderful?
You know what I also see in this is maybe you see yourself as the servant and you're filled with fear.
Yeah.
But if the problem that we see with a lot of Christians is because they don't go to church, they don't surround themselves with faithful people, the reminder of your eyes being open to what God is able to do is not there. So they're continuously surrounded by their fears instead of faith. So you need to, if you want to stop looking at your obstacles and your problems, you have to start surrounding yourself with people that can see past them.
Come on.
If you can surround yourself with people that see past them, they'll open your eyes to what is possible through God instead of you looking right in front of you, seeing the problems that are ahead.
Come on.
But if you can have someone that can lift your faith above your circumstances, with Peter, he had Jesus. With the servant, he had Elijah. If you have no one that can stretch your faith, you are going to surrender to fear. Surround yourself with godly people that will open your eyes to what is possible through God.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. So, you know, in a nutshell, point number four, don't let visible natural obstacles prevent you from believing God to answer your prayers. Take your eyes off of the impossible and put your eyes on the possible. And God, with God, all things are possible. Amen. Number five, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't waver. He wasn't double-minded. Here's the scripture, James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But let him, that's you and me now, let him ask in faith with no doubting.
Yeah. Come on.
coming back to the simplicity of, do you believe God can heal me? Oh, yes, I believe. They pray, oh, God, I hope you'll heal me. Now, while he's praying, I hope you will heal me. I really just hope I'm good enough to qualify for this healing. While I'm praying, people are thinking, God, I hope I qualify. God, I hope I'm not a sinner. I go, and there's that doubt,
yeah,
while we're praying for your miracle. Or you believe in God for finances and you sow a seed. You know, you listen to the pastor teach and the pastor says, sow a seed of revival, sow a seed of healing. So you sow that, you give your seed a name, and then you say, man, I hope God's hearing my prayer. I hope God's receiving this offering that I'm giving him. That's already doubt. Because when you come to God, believe. This is what he's saying. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Don't doubt this when you ask. Just when you ask God, this is the confidence that we have in him that he hears our prayer.
Yeah. Come on.
Why do we doubt what we ask?
Yeah.
There's no point in that. It's not going to work. You just have to believe when you ask that you receive it.
Yeah.
To me, it's simple. Yes, the simple illustration again. Hey, Stephen, would you like a new phone? Ask me for a new phone.
Yeah, I want a new phone.
Yeah, there's a new phone.
Thank you.
Was that hard?
No.
Now let's reverse the role. I'm asking you, would you please give me a phone?
Here it is.
Oh, man, that's a beautiful phone. Oh, I wish I could have that phone. Oh, man.
Right here for the taking.
I don't think I'm worthy enough to receive this phone. It's really the phone I wanted, but I don't qualify. I'm not good enough. You know what? I can't even afford this phone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not good. Do you see the difference of just taking something and receiving it and then doubting, even though it's a free gift given to us? Mm-hmm. That God is there to answer your prayer, that God is there to bless you with what you want. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Just take and receive.
Yeah.
Why? He says, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Yeah. Watch this. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord.
Yeah.
So here's a question, an answer to a question I've heard for many years. Why don't I receive my breakthrough? Why don't I receive my healing? Why don't I receive whatever I've asked God for? Could it be that you were double-minded in your asking?
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the answer. And I know there's pastors watching us this morning, and maybe you too, you're frustrated because you know what the problem is, but how do you counsel that church member who's saying, but God doesn't answer my prayer? Well, take them to this and say, let them ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For the last 5 minutes, I've been counseling actually on how we are to receive, but the problem is how people doubt while they're receiving.
Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hope that this answers some questions for you guys that are watching me and you're saying, but Dion, I do believe. Do you?
Yeah.
Yes, but I do. Do you?
Yeah. I think one of the greatest reasons why people don't receive from God is because they haven't had revelation on grace. If you understand grace, what it means, it's undeserved, unmerited favor. If you do not have a revelation on grace, what happens is when you approach God and you ask for something, the main reason that most people doubt that which they are asking for is because the enemy throws in the thought of, you sinned, you're not good enough. You did this, you're not qualified.
Yep.
Every single time they approach God, they made a mistake, then they automatically think they are unworthy of the prayer that they are asking God because they don't have a revelation of grace. But if I attach grace to faith and I understand that I'm a child of God, every single time I enter the throne room of grace, every single time I enter the presence of God, I don't ask because I am good. I am asking because his favor is resting upon me. I don't doubt it because of past transgressions.
Yeah.
I am in faith right now, believing because he has made it possible for me to enter the throne room. He made it possible for me to ask. So therefore, I ask boldly without doubting, knowing that I'm not disqualified, then I will receive.
Amen.
But so many people enter into the presence of God with the mindset of being disqualified, not being good enough,
yep.
not being worthy enough
yep.
to receive that which they ask for. But change that. Have a revelation on grace.
Come
and watch your prayers be answered.
That is so good. You know, coming back to James, there's two things here. He says, number one, we must believe, and number two, we must not doubt.
Yeah.
That's what James says. Believe when you ask and don't doubt when you ask it. So the King James, I'm always reading out of the New King James. He says that we must not doubt, but the King James says we must not waver mm-hmm. in our asking. So why do people doubt? Why do we waver? Because we are busy with Almighty God. And God is not a liar to his word. So here's some scriptures just to help you in your faith. Numbers 23:19. You know I love this. We quote this so often. But God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Numbers 23:19. God cannot lie.
Yeah.
His word cannot lie. So if we ask according to his will and we ask according to his word, God watches over his word to perform his word. God cannot lie. He's going to do it. My faith, my hope, my trust is in his word, not in my abilities, not in my circumstances, not in whether I'm good or bad or full of sin or error. He is true to his word. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, watch this. He says, for I am the Lord. I do not change. Hallelujah. God does not change. He has never changed. He will never change. Hebrews 13:8 says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
Hello. This is just by the way. Some people think God changes to adapt to the modern lifestyle that we're in today. Sorry. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
Amen. His ways are the same. Everything he does is the same. He does not change.
Yeah.
All right, James 1 verse 17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
Come on.
Isn't that good
That's
news?
Good.
There is no variation. There is no shadow of turning. In other words, God is not one day white and one day black or one day gray. He is who he is.
Yeah.
He said what he said. He'll do what he said he will do.
Come
there
on.
Is no variation. There is no change in God the Father. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
1 Kings 8 verse 56 says, blessed is the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Watch this. There has not failed one word of all his good promises which he promised to his servant Moses. There is not one failed word. Not one thing in the Bible has failed that God had spoken and promised. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Come on, if you agree with me, say hallelujah. This is what God does. He does not change. So if the Bible tells us to believe his word, then the word does not change.
Yes.
He's true to his word.
Come on.
Amen. All right, point number 6. Abraham was strong in his faith. He wasn't weak in his faith, but he was strong in his faith. All right? So not focusing on the natural obstacles, which we spoke about, but rather on the power of God, not staggering, wavering, or doubting. In other words, like Stephen said, and what I've been trying to say, is not to focus on your abilities, but to focus on his abilities and to focus on what God can do. Abraham was inspired by the promise of our faithful God. He was inspired. And this is why God, you said it. I'm inspired. Mm-hmm. I believe you said it. I believe that you're going to give to me what you promised. All right. Be strong in faith, not passive, not neutral, but strong, not wavering, not doubting. So watch this. Joshua 1 verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid. Be strong in your faith.
Yeah,
do not doubt. Do not fear. Take courage. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I need a big resounding amen. He is with me wherever he goes. Somebody says, how's that possible? He's in you.
Yeah.
How did he get in you? Through salvation. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you go, I'm with you. You could be the only guy on an island stranded. He's with you. You could be with a 10 million unbelievers. You know, God is with you. You are never alone. And yes. Then he says, don't be dismayed. Don't be concerned. Don't worry. I am with you. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says this. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. Mm-hmm. There's another good amen.
Yeah, come on.
He goes before me. Mm-hmm. He will be with you. Mm-hmm. And he will not leave you. And he will not forsake you. Do not be fearful. Do not be dismayed.
Come on.
He goes ahead of us. I said this yesterday.
Yeah.
He's for us. He's with us. He's upon us. He's in us. He's behind us. He's all around us. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Amen. Do not be afraid.
Come on. Amen.
Look, do you think God doesn't know what you're going through? Of course he knows.
Yeah.
Do you not believe that God has already gone ahead of you and he's already taken care of that obstacle, that fear, that doubt in front of you?
Yeah.
That's the God that we serve. He loves us. He's gone ahead of us. He's prepared the way for us.
Yeah.
The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to bless you. He's made a way. That's why we sing that song. He's our
Waymaker.
He's our Waymaker. Amen. He's a miracle working God. So when you go out on a new venture or a business deal or a something and you're saying, oh my gosh, I don't know, take courage. He's already gone ahead of you. He's already made a way for you.
Yes.
That's why I know every crusade we go on, every outreach we do is going to be successful.
Yeah.
The next couple of weeks is going to be successful.
Come on.
It's going to be blessed. We're going to have salvations. We're going to have healings. We're going to have why? God's already gone ahead of us. He's already prepared the way for us. When?
Yeah.
2,000 years ago, or even before the foundation of the earth was laid, God had already prepared all of this. We just need to walk in his will. Just follow, line up with his will.
So
come on,
good.
I'm preaching myself happy.
Yeah,
if you're not getting happy, I don't know. Psalm 27 verse 1. Watch this. I love this. Psalms 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Amen.
Praise God. When David saw the enemy coming in everywhere, he just lifted his eyes to the Lord and he said, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. In spite of the circumstances, the difficulties, the obstacles, the whatever, we turn to God. He is my refuge. He is my safekeeper.
Yes.
He is my guide, my helper, my comforter. He is my everything.
Yes,
come on,
is.
Can I get a big amen? He is everything in my life.
Amen.
Everybody can hate you, turn against you. You could feel rejected. You could feel alone. You could feel whatever. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you.
Yes.
And God will always help you and be with you in your time of need. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Number 7, what can we learn from this? Giving glory to God. This is what Abraham did. He took the promises, believed the promises and all of that. Didn't look at and then he came and he said, okay, God, now I'm going to praise you for what you said. I'm going to give you glory for what you did. 1 Peter 4 verse 11. 1 Peter 4 verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
Right? Everything we do is not for our own advancement, for our own, what are
benefits,
we looking for? benefits, that's a good word there, but what we do, what healing ministries do, what I do, what you do, is to magnify and glorify God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how we give glory to God. I hope and I believe I'm right in saying that when we pray for the sick in our services and God does the miracle, what do? Everybody say Jesus. Everybody say Jesus is the healer. Say with me, Dion is not the healer. Jesus is the healer. When I do that, it's not that I'm, falsely humble. I'm not doing that to be humble in front of the presence. I'm giving God, Father, receive the glory because of what your Son Jesus did right now when He opened up the eyes of the blind or when that person was healed. Everybody say Jesus. So when people say Jesus, boom, God gets the glory. Do you understand what I'm doing? There's nothing we can celebrate and say, me, look what I did, nothing. No, give God the praise.
Yeah.
Are you agreeing with what I'm saying?
Come on.
And I'm trying to help some people here because a lot of people, I'm not going to say it because I'll offend many. But I've just seen arrogance and I've seen pride in many ministers who take glory for themselves, not giving any honor to God. Let's give God praise. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That summed up in what I just said, that giving thanks always for all things to God, giving glory to God in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Point number 8. And being fully convinced that He has promised, He was able to perform. He was fully convinced that what God said, He would perform it. All right, so this is kind of like summed up in a nutshell. Mark chapter 9 from verse 27 to 30 says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him, and they cried out and they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him. He has two blind guys now. It's not blind Bartimaeus. This is another case. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, even Jesus asking people, do you believe that I can do this? Well, they said to Him, yes, Lord. And that's what you said. Just say yes.
Just say yes.
Don't doubt it. Just say yes. And then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. I love that. According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about Him all that country. Amen. Listen to this saying, have mercy on us, Son of David. Jesus said, do you believe that I can do it? And they replied, yes, Lord. And what did He do? He touched their eyes, and their eyes were miraculously restored again. Do you believe God can do a miracle for you? Do you believe God knows your circumstances and He can do what He promised He would do? Then just say, yes, Lord, I believe. Come on, somebody type in, yes, Lord. Just do that, just to make the devil mad. We believe every promise, every word spoken by God is yes and amen. We say, yes, Lord. Yeah, can you get out of your financial difficulty? Yes, Lord. Yeah. Will you be healed from that sickness that you're in? Yes, Lord. Can God restore your broken marriage? Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Can God take care of your rebellious children? Yes, Lord. Can God do a miracle for you? Yes, Lord. Is it too difficult for God? No. All things are possible. Just say, yes, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 42. Now a leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him and saying to Him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Listen to this. If you can do it, God, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean. I'm going to ask God in heaven, please put that on a replay. I want to see how the leprosy left this guy. Could you imagine that? The skin falling off, the bone sticking out, the sores or whatever it was, and to see that creative miracle.
Yeah.
God just putting back the parts of his body that this leprosy had destroyed. It's, oh, I can't wait to see that. So he said, I am willing. All right, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit cannot be limited into what they can do. There is no, listen carefully, there is no limitation to what God can do for you and for me.
Yes.
I want you to get that into your spirit this morning. There is no limitation, no limit.
Nothing.
When people say sky's the limit, with God there's no sky's the limit. There's no limitation with God.
Yeah.
Amen. Do you feel encouraged
that? Absolutely.
Think on your biggest desire that you have.
Yeah.
And then with God, there's no limitation to that.
Absolutely.
God can take your biggest dream. He can take your biggest desire. And God will multiply that 100 billion times. You say, that is impossible. No, there
he
is
can.
No limitation to God.
Yes.
How many of you feel encouraged by that thought?
Come on. Amen.
Bring to him your needs, your prayers, your praise. God is both able and willing to help you. Amen. So let me give you one last scripture, and then I'm going to sum it up. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says, Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you.
Come on.
This is what we can pray. Oh
yes.
God, what seems impossible to me, but with you, God, that nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible. God, it feels like I'm going under, but nothing is too hard for you, God.
Yeah.
You can heal me. You can bless me. You can take care of every situation in my life.
Jesus.
Nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Do you feel encouraged
I
this
do.
Morning? Has this
Amen.
Helped anybody? If we can follow these eight principles, we will be blessed. Here are the eight principles that I've just taught you. Number one, even though there may seem to be little natural hope, believe God because he's given us this tikva hope. Believe him for what is impossible. Number two, if God has spoken, you can count on God's word for it to work, right? Number three, refuse to be weak in your faith. Just refuse to be weak. Number four, don't let circumstances weaken your faith. Number five, don't waver or doubt the promises of God through unbelief. Number six, like Abraham, we must be strong in our faith. Number seven, desire the answered prayer will bring glory to God. Desire that when I pray, believe I receive, and God will do that for you. Amen. It's as simple as that. And what is number eight?
Yeah, believe undoubtedly that God is able to do what he has promised to do.
Believe undoubtedly that what God said, he will do. It's simple, it's easy, it's the gospel, it's the keys to faith. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I feel encouraged. I don't know about you. It's like old prophecies and old promises that kind of have been shelved. It's like there's new hope for it.
Come on.
You know, it's like see further, see bigger, see the things that you once dreamt of before life got in the way, before some disappointments got in the way. Get rid of that and then focus back on the promises of God and say, sorry, God, for doubting the things that you have declared over my life, the things that you have planned for my life. Just get rid of that and then say, Father, I receive by faith every promise. I'm going to dream again. I'm going to hope again. I'm going to have faith again for all the things that you have declared and spoken over my life in Jesus' name.
Stretch your hands to me. Father, I pray for all the viewers watching now and later on. And may every point that I've spoken on, Lord, today, that we've learned from Abraham, May every point come into fulfillment in our lives. May we learn from this. May we exercise this, Father. May we apply these verses in our lives in the name of Jesus. And may we grow in our faith. Father, may we go from glory to glory to glory. Father, in Jesus' name. I bless every viewer. I bless every listener right now in the name of Jesus. Mm. And I thank you, Father God, that we are living victorious, overcoming lives, Father God. Not full of doubt and fear and unbelief, but, Father, holding on to every promise of God's word in Jesus' name. I bless the viewers right now. And I thank you, God, that they are strengthened this morning by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
All righty, guys. Well, we're going to let you go. We'll catch you next week, Monday. And looking forward to whatever's going to happen on Monday. Most probably going to give a lot of testimonies and share on the goodness of God.
Come on.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Yes, keep praying for us. But remember, the good news
you can make a difference by partnering with us in ministry with a heart for the lost by visiting our website www.dionhockey.org. You will also receive exclusive content from the ministry as a thank you from Pastor Dion Hockey. Remember to subscribe and follow our social media pages for updates, sermons, and more information on the ministry. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.